Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatulin. Figgy Fig rounds out the bunch on this Thursday. Hope you're having a good one, someone said. Wouldn't be surprised if Kenyon Green makes his way back to Houston. The Roughnecks might need him.
Oh, why y'all doing, man. That? Why y'all doing that?
That? See, I was thinking, because he's from here, you know, Atascocita.
I was thinking,
cheaper. He's going to make his way back to Houston. He lives here.
I was thinking a camp body, maybe next year, free sign as a camp body for cheap.
I was thinking go see his mama and them. You know, drop it on
yours is more disrespectful. You trying to play it like it's not. You like, yeah, of course he's going to be. He's just flying to IAH, you know, go see his people.
Yeah, but mine's not
stop
a joke.
Stop by some French.
That's not a joke. That's like actually real life. This dude talking about go play for the Roughnecks. I see what you doing there.
I mean, they'll pay him to play football. Not a lot, but they'll pay him.
All right, I was right, though, fighting for his career. I mean, look, we're joking, but that's what this year is for him. Getting that fifth-year option decline, fighting for his career.
Yeah.
Hope he does well.
Absolutely. I mean, the dude himself, I have no reason or occasion to be nasty towards him.
He tried. I thought he was a good worker, had a good attitude. It just didn't work out.
I will say, if it don't work out in Philly and he's playing a lot,
that's tough.
I'm going to feel bad for them Philly fans. I mean, not him, not the Philly fans, but I'm going to feel bad for him. Oh, man. They are crazy,
man. You traded CJ Gardner-Johnson for this?
They're not good people.
Oh, no.
Get this bum out of here.
But it is a good circumstance for him, right? Going and working with Stalin there.
You got like, the best coaching.
If there's a place where it's going to happen, it feels like it'll be there. All right. Let's talk more about this offensive line and some other things that Nick Caserio has talked about. He's doing a little media tour himself. He'll be on this station next week with Payne and Pendergast. Keep it locked to find out when exactly next week. But, you know, he was actually on Up and Adams, the show with Kay Adams, and I mean, for one, my man was bubbly. My man was having a good time talking on the show.
I understand it.
And so,
just saying.
Well, you know, Kay Adams,
I'd be in a good mood, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was various things that he talked about. Can you give me the first one? This is Caserio talking on the Up and Adams about the DB room that he has established with this Texas team.
It really is.
So wait, let me grab it real quick.
All right, no problem. But yeah, so there's that. But also remember, he was on Texas All Access earlier on the week as well.
Yeah, been a talkative Nick Caserio lately.
He's gotten very comfortable with the role in general And also, like, talkative and willing to show his emotions even more so. Like, the frustration that he's willing to display, it is an emotion, and he is willing to show it to us.
Yeah, so I even go back to it started for me, like, with Lovie Smith, when they fired Lovie Smith. And he kind of had this moment where he's like, hey, the clock is ticking, and is probably as transparent or as emotionally transparent as I think he's had ever been up until that point. And ever since then, you've seen a little bit more of Nick Caserio, not the robot, but the human being.
Yeah. And so he's given us some of that. Actually, you know what? Let me call a little audible here. And I hope that, well, we know there's probably an opportunity to have more audibles with CJ Stroud this year with the offense. But one of the things I have been clamoring for is to find out a little bit more about this offense and what it'll be. And if there's anyone who might be able to get it out of football players and football people, it is Kay Adams. I view her as the Taylor Rooks of football, where people might talk
white
a little bit
Taylor
more
Rooks.
Than they should. Well, I didn't need to say, you need to put it in those
look
terms.
Look at Ficky had to go, the white Taylor, you had to make sure you made that difference.
Yeah, I don't think you needed to do all that.
Hey, I don't see it being wrong.
And to be fair, Taylor Rooks does have her own football space with the Prime on Thursdays, Prime Video broadcast. But this was Kay Adams asking, what do I need to know about Nick Caley as he comes in to coach this offense?
That he's a good coach and he went to a great college, so that's where it ends. So no, he's an awesome human being. It's interesting, his background's a little bit different. He started on the defensive side of the ball and coached for a number of years on the defensive side of the football, and then when we brought him to New England and hired him as an offensive assistant, that was the first time he'd kind of worked on the offensive side of the ball. So I'd say he's pretty well versed. He's worked for a number of really good coaches, Coach Belichick, being involved with Coach McDaniels, Josh, when he was in New England, had an opportunity to work with Sean over the last couple of years. So I'd say brings kind of a wealth of experience in a couple of different systems. So what we have to do, what he's going to focus on and concentrate on, is putting together the Houston Texans offense and what do we need to do to be successful. But a tremendous human being that's got a lot of juice, got a lot of energy. He doesn't have as much energy as Sean, which nobody does, but being around Sean is probably never a bad thing.
Yeah.
Did you get some from that?
Yeah. For me,
you can say no.
I'm going to be honest. In the beginning, I'm like, yep, this is a Nick Caserio guy. Like, I'm not trying to be the one that, like, divides up, who is this, a Nick Caserio hire or D'Amico Ryan's hire, or is this the ownership? But look, it's hard to ignore, and this is my takeaway from just his first jokingly comments to start that answer. This dude's resume is pretty much, he is Nick Caserio, like John Carroll, New England Patriots, and I get it differs a little bit after that, but it's like Nick Caserio basically hired Nick Caserio to be the offensive coordinator, up to the point to where the man's name is Nick and the last name starts with a C.
It's kind of the same after that, too. Like, just seeing all the different positions. Like, he started on the defensive side of the ball, and then he went to the offensive side of the ball. Nick Caserio was like a receivers coach at one point. He was kind of all over the place, too.
Caserio coached receivers. This guy coached tight ends. It's like,
it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, just come in and try to fit in wherever you think you can fit in at.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it continues to talk about, like, the different systems and then just building the Texans offense. And I'm trying to be encouraged by it. And I think also knowing that C.J. Stroud is deeply involved, and then the guy that probably knows him the best on the staff is also deeply involved in Jerod Johnson, I find it hard to shake, B. Scott, the feeling that they're just figuring this out on the fly, which does not give me a lot of confidence in what the offense ultimately looks like. And what's crazy is I feel confident about the tools. I feel confident about the quarterback. I'm trying to find some confidence about what the offensive line looks like, and I just don't know what is the actual frame or form of how you're putting all these pieces together.
Or even more simply, like when Nick Caserio there says building the Texans offense, what does that mean?
They're going to run
the
football.
No idea.
Like, I just, we don't.
We're going to run the football.
It would be more, you would be more comfortable with, I think. And it would give you more confidence if he was just coming in here with an offense. Like, this is what the offense is going to be. Either that being, hey, this is this guy's offense, or this guy is capable of running whatever offense we already have and we want to go with it. Now, we understand they're gutting the offense that they already had. They fired the previous offensive coordinator and they're bringing in a different guy. But if it was one or the other, hey, this is somebody that is just going to orchestrate an offense that we've already got in place and we know that's going to be the offense, or this guy has an offense. We know, like, this is this is Kyle Shanahan, this is Sean McVay, and it doesn't have to be that kind of name, but somebody with an identified offense you would feel better about. We don't know what a Nick Caley offense actually is or looks like, and that is an uncomfortable place to be in considering where they were offensively.
And you know what? I'd be okay with the ambiguity of we don't know what a Nick Caley offense looks like. I don't know if Nick Caley knows what a Nick Caley offense looks like. And that's the thing that I continue to bandy about in some way.
Doesn't it seem like to you, like, I mean, I'm asking this genuinely, doesn't it seem like to you it has that feel of we're bringing in a smart offensive guy who is going to kind of read the room? Check with C.J. Stroud. Check with Gerard Johnson, the people that have been here already. What's already working? What do you already like? And we'll form an offense based off of that feedback, based off of what is it that C.J. Stroud and the people that are already here that know C.J. Stroud, what does it look like? And that, I mean, that's good, I guess, because, you know, you want to play to your quarterback strengths, but it's also not that great because you want to feel like the guy that's coming in already has a plan or that you already have some kind of direction.
It's great in theory, though. Like, and and this has been kind of my general, and I'm trying not to freak out because I know that I have a propensity to get to that space.
It's going
to
be fine, right? Reggie. It's going to be fine,
I'm trying not
dog.
To freak out. But like,
or is it?
Okay. I didn't need that. That's not helpful in this moment. But I feel like you look at the offenses that have jumped off the page, how many of them have gone in without you having some understanding of what the foundation will be of it, right? Of even the ones that are coming from a system, right? When, oh, well, let's go get Kevin Stefanski. He has this base. Let's go get Kevin O'Connell. He has this base. Let's get Zach Taylor. He has this base. Let's go get, what's my boy in, Black Mike. My boy in,
Mike McDaniel.
There you go. I was like, there's a lot of Mike Mix, and I can't remember which one he is, but there you go. You know what the basis of that offense is. I don't know what the basis of this offense is, and it doesn't help that he's a first-time player.
It kind of got the feel of a New England offense where it's just like week-to-week game plan. One week they might be running the hell out the football. The next, it seemed like it kind of got some of that without the Tom Brady, obviously.
But, and not to oversimplify it, but I will for a second here, it does feel like you got C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, and Joe Mixon. It feels like, hey, you've got some key pieces here. You should be able to figure out an offense around that. Like, if you're a coach worth your salt at all, you should be able to figure that out. That's an oversimplification, but it's like, man, you got, like you said, I feel good about the tools. Is the carpenter good? And we're going to figure that out.
Do y'all feel kind of bad that they just kind of got rid of the Shanahan type of offense a little bit?
Or did they?
Yeah, we don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we thought, you know, and I think that's the uncomfortable part of it. It's the not knowing, not being sure. And it's like, all right, we're just going to kind of go out here and have blind faith or blind skepticism or justified skepticism. It depends on just what angle you come at it with. But you can't say that you're going in there knowing, hey, this is what it's going to look like and I feel good about it.
Well, I got to come back to some more of this audio. I mean, we only just got to the tip of the iceberg. There was some talk about the offensive line and also a Darius Henderson update as well from Nick Casario when he was talking with Kay at Adams. We'll get back to more of that.
The football heads loved him some Ladarius Henderson.
Yeah,
man.
I forgot about him, man.
Yes, and that was the thing. Like, that was the thing because I also forgot about him, which is, I mean, he was drafted last year.
National champion Ladarius Henderson. Put some respect
on right.
The name.
That's right. Michigan Wolverine Ladarius Henderson. But, like, he was drafted, and he was another one of those kind of development types, and you're like, hey, we'll see what this ultimately looks like. And does that, like, where does he also fit in with the possibility of adding to the competition in this offensive line? We'll circle back to what Nick Casario has going there. But you are listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including an Astros loss, but what were the things that we saw within that? And also, a well-known and well-respected voice in boxing is returning this weekend. I'll tell you who it is next.